Two personalities debating today's biggest geek topics. This is Project Nerds Versus.
Welcome back to another episode of Versus here on Project Nerd. I'm one of your hosts, Iggy, and I'm here with Tyler.
And I'm Tyler, and we're here to hopefully debate some stuff. I don't know. It's been a minute since we were, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to listen. Q had to fill in for me a couple weeks ago. Did you guys actually argue, or did you just agree on everything?
We didn't argue, but we took different sides of it. We don't have the argue. Him and I don't argue quite like it. We do. So it sounds good. He did declare it as the best episode of Versus so far. And
shut up,
I told him he'd have to work that out with you. Maybe you guys could debate it episode in June when I have to sit out. But yeah, you check that out. And of course, check out all our previous Versus. But this week we've got tons of big things happening. I don't think we're gonna have a lot of arguments this week, Tyler. There's one
that I wouldn't call an argument, but I might take a different side on. That's about it. Okay. That's all I got so far. But let's get started. What do you got? Yeah. What's up first? Let's do it.
As we get started, I do just want to compliment your mic. You sound super radio right now with that microphone.
Listen, fantastic job. I'm just here. Listen,
you're ready for next. The book club.
there you go. I'll tell you what.
All right. Let's head down these topics right here on Versus, and we're going to start with what happened on Monday, that huge, huge Marvel trailer, I guess you'd say, for Phase 4. I've got multiple questions for it. I think we're going to have to break this down, but obviously, like I said, the big news is that Phase 4 teaser. You can find it over on Project Nerd, obviously. It was filled with announcements, Easter eggs, all kinds of things. We got early footage of the Eternals. We finally got Black Panther 2 and Captain Marvel 2 dates and titles. And there was a little bit of a tease at the end. I'll get there for sure. But tell us, does this give us anything to get excited for the Eternals? Which, by the way, it's only 5 months away now.
I don't know if there was anything here that it's a teaser of, I mean, it's a tease of a teaser, basically. It's just a little bit of, here's some people in their costumes on screen. So if you needed this to get, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that there's enough there to like latch onto. Like, it's cool to see the characters like in the costumes doing their thing, but I don't know that there's enough there to like, if you weren't already excited for it, like this isn't taking you from 0 to 100. It's not even pushing you over the edge. It's just like, oh, cool. They have made that movie. There is film of it now. Here is visual proof that this movie will be coming out and exists.
I was starting to wonder, right? I don't know. I'm pretty excited. I think I get what you're saying. But I think we've talked about it a lot. Anything we needed was this 2020 year of Marvel. It's kind of give us a year away from it all. Get a break from just being bombarded with those superhero movies. And I got re-excited watching this. It may not have been specifically the Eternals footage, but as you said, it's like, this is really what I felt first glimpse of it outside of the photos we've had, what the ET Weekly exclusive. I'm waiting for a full trailer because, again, we're 5 months away. Where is this? But can tell me what, Kumail Nanjiani, what did you eat, man? That guy is jacked now.
I mean, obviously, like, this was a big thing when he posted
right
that Instagram photo of himself like during the right after he like hit peak, and then it became a whole thing and they talked about it on all these different shows and stuff, because it happened right as they were finishing the last season of Silicon Valley airing. And this is pre-COVID, went on a lot of talk shows to show it off, talk about it. It was a big thing. Now we're finally going to see the purpose for which he got like jacked AF. So I'm excited about it. But you say we did get a break. Like, there has not been a Marvel movie in a theater since what? Far From Home? Was that the last movie in a theater?
Yeah.
Back in July of 2019. Mm-hmm. We definitely get our, I mean, now between July and the end of the year, we're going to get 4. And between July and the end of next year, we're going to get 8.
Yes.
So like, we're going to make up for lost time in the next 2 years. Like,
oh, yeah,
between July 9th of this year and November 11th of next year, we will have 8 Marvel movies hit theaters, including technically Spider-Man No Way Home, which is still a joint Sony Marvel production, but part of the MCU. So you get 8 movies in less than 18 months. So that's something.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let's talk a little bit about those.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm excited about it. So here's the deal. We got a lot of information. Like, the for those who haven't watched the trailer, it starts off with a little bit of retrospective. We get a sweet voiceover from Stan Lee, a lot of footage from the early movies. But then after they show that, then they basically quick hit all these upcoming movies with dates, with titles. So the Eternals was just one thing in there. They also announced the dates and titles for Black Panther 2, which is going to be Black Panther Wakanda Forever. The Captain Marvel 2, which is going to be called The Marvels, and is the best logo of the three, because you get the Marvels in the Captain Marvel font, you get the Pulsar logo there in the A, and then you get the Ms. Marvel S at the end. So, like,
right,
of all the designs of the logos, that was my favorite. That was a cool one. Both getting dates and titles. We also got, I mean, obviously they posted up there about Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. We also got Multiverse of Madness, obviously No Way Home. The question is, I should get to, what's Disney's direction? Where do you think Disney's going with Black Panther and Captain Marvel? I think those are the two that we were kind of, that are the most up in the air. Because it was curious to see, like, where do you go with Captain Marvel now, especially because of her movie and then the Infinity War made her out to be, like, quite possibly the most powerful of all characters in the Marvel MCU right now. But there's a lot more to unpack there. And then, obviously, T'Challa is no more. So, like, where do you go with Black Panther?
Well, I think good question, because these, like you said, there was a lot of uncertainty. And Captain Marvel, I think, is going to be interesting taking that family approach. If I remember correctly, was it for a TV show or a TV show cameo? They had a Ms. Marvel, the young Ms. Marvel, the Muslim one, cast for something. So it's a possibility we could see that here in the movie. We have other options. I think you can get away from, because you basically had to sideline her in Infinity War and Endgame, like you mentioned. And so sidelining her for Endgame, excuse me, she wasn't around in Infinity War yet. But and then so you don't focus too much on her on the movie. You give it a little bit more to introduce some characters. And I think that's obviously with Black Panther, we're just going to really focus. I'd love to see Shuri really get the spotlight, though. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what I would prefer here.
Yeah, Shuri would be one direction to go with it. I mean, I think there's a lot of people have had the Black Panther mantle in the comics, so there's a lot of interesting directions to go with it. I'm curious what they'll do. Captain Marvel, I am excited for. I'm excited for the Pulsar character. Her introduction in WandaVision was a little bit rote. Like, it was a little bit like paint the numbers. Like, oh, by the way, this character has powers now. Oh, we're going to have a quick scene to show that they have powers now. Okay, we're done with that character for now. Let's finish the show. But Ms. Marvel is a really cool character. She will also, for those of you who haven't, like, this will be the first character, for the most part, not counting like one shots and stuff, this will be the first character introduced in a Marvel television show before making it onto the big screen. Because the Ms. Marvel television show will have played on Disney Plus before she shows up in the Marvel's movie. So I'm curious to see, like, that'll be, because, like, people have, and like I say, that the first one that's for sure going to happen, there's been all these crazy rumors swirling that maybe a character from one of the Netflix shows may show up in a movie with all the multiverse stuff, but this will be the first time for sure a character was introduced not in a movie who then went on to show in a movie. We've only had the backwards, like, we've only had characters from the movie show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or show up in obviously, we've had two shows now starring characters that originally were introduced in the movie. So I think that'll be an interesting direction going the opposite, backwards, going from TV to movie. So I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see where they go with both of them. So
I think there's a lot of potential there. But probably the biggest thing, something I think you'll be super excited for, is we definitely got a little Easter egg at the end. And by little, I mean a big Easter egg at the end. The Phase 4 logo was made out to look like a Fantastic Four logo.
Sure was.
And Feige's kind of been, he's like, it's happening, but we don't really have details. We don't really know. Fantastic Four, though, I think all but assured, what we knew these were coming in, but now we're able to get excited for it. They didn't really give us much more than that. It's just going to lead to a lot more speculation. So let's speculate, Tyler. Fantastic Four, you love it. What are we thinking? Is this going to be, are they going to be introduced throughout the movies and then kind of placed together to put them in the team role? Or is the phase going to end with them being introduced and kicking off the next phase?
I don't know. I mean, we know exactly two things about this movie. One, we know that they are making it. And two, we know that John Watts is directing it. That's right. It. Now, I mean, John Watts is a good place to start, obviously. He, you know, he has, what's the word I want to know? He has a pedigree already with Netflix. I mean, with Marvel. So for those who aren't familiar, John Watts is the director of both Homecoming and Far From Home and No Way Home. So he did all the Spider-Man movies. They then hired him to come back and come straight over the MCU and do, what I want to say, the Fantastic Four. So we know that much. That's all we know. That's the only thing. Feige hinted in 2019. Yes, we're working on it. They tweeted back in December. John Watts is directing. I don't know. I mean, the more I think about it, I don't know how I don't know. Are they past the point of where we tease the next new character as a stinger? Like, we did that for a long time where it was like, here's a cool movie. And then at the very end, after the credits, oh, by the way, let's have this character like walk on screen. I feel like we're past that point. Like, those right. are more just like fun little scenes now, as opposed to like, here's us setting up the big thing. So I think the Fantastic Four has been done wrong so many times previously, and they're a big enough franchise that I feel like you can hint at them. You could make references. You could even probably mention their names in other movies. I don't know that you introduce them without, I don't know that you do them the disservice, or I think you run a risk if you try to introduce them outside of their own big introduction movie. But at the same time, the MCU has done, I think we're all spent on origin story movies. Like, we like to hit the ground running now. We can only watch origin stories so many times.
Right, right. It's a good point. And you made another good point. The best on-screen adaptation we've seen of Fantastic Four was in, what, season two or three of Arrested Development? And that's the bar. We're definitely low. But it's, I don't know. It's, I think your point, I'm going to back your point, but I'm going to say it for a different reason. I think we have too many other things going on in phase four. To slowly introduce them in movies in ways that, like you said, they're not going to do it as a stinger. The weakest or the smallest it would be how Spider-Man was introduced in Civil War, right? Like, get a few scenes, it's a surprise. Well, it wasn't a surprise once the trailer came out, but you could see that playing out. But you mentioned we've got characters coming from the shows. There's a lot of chance that we'll see some of these characters from the Black Widow movie carry on, including, you know, a new Black Widow possibly is a lot of rumors. We've got, as you mentioned, the multiverses being introduced. We've got a lot of Netflix losing rights to those characters, so they now are back in the hands of Marvel as well. There's just so much here. And then you talk about the X-Men. I think you're right. I think the best way to do these Fox ones is to, one, show you, hey, we got these back. Here's the first movie blowing those other movies from Fox away, just reminding you they're in good hands. Let's introduce it maybe right at the end and kick off the new phase with these guys. I think that would be the best approach. Are we patient enough to wait for that is the question though.
The other thing I could see them doing is in another movie, maybe a multiverse-ish movie, but I could see them introducing Dr. Doom first and then using that as a segue into the Fantastic Four.
I'd be down for that. Doom would be a good quality multi-movie villain for us in this phase, for sure.
Also, for those of you who are unfamiliar with John Watts outside of his Spider-Man movies, he made one of the worst / best / most horrifying horror movies of all time. If you've never seen the movie Clown, I can't recommend that you watch it, but I get upset just thinking about it.
Not the Danish clown, the other clown, because the Danish clown I definitely do recommend.
I don't recommend John Watts's Clown, but it is something.
Hey, but those B-level horror directors coming to Marvel seem to do all right.
Oh, it's horrifying.
All right.
I don't know. We got, what else Marvel we got? Anything?
I think that about, I mean, obviously there was a lot more to unpack with Marvel, but we could take up the whole show just on Marvel. So I think that's good for us to move along with those.
Okay.
I'm excited for more, but I feel like we're still going to get, there's going to be more littered along the summer as other things come out.
That's fair. Here's the thing. We have a one big thing we haven't talked about at all. And that is we haven't talked here or on the Nerdcast since the Oscars aired.
Right.
The show was underwhelming at best. Probably the worst ratings the Oscars have ever had. Like, to the fact a week later, in the next week, a presidential address had double the ratings of the Oscars, which I don't know that that's ever happened. So, but we obviously did our Nerdcast Oscar picks. 2 points separated first from last, which was probably the narrowest gap ever. Mostly missed all the same ones. The winners are what we mostly predict early on, but it seemed to kind of, the big major categories went a little wild, especially the Anthony Hopkins win, I think, was the biggest shocker of the night for at least us. I don't know about everyone else. But let's just spin it. We'll talk about this a bunch coming up on the Nerdcast, but let's just break down a couple things. What was the biggest snub? What was the biggest win? Did Nomadland deserve Best Picture? I'll start there. Did Nomadland, was that the Best Picture?
I think you know where I am on this, and I will have an opinion for Best Picture. I think, though, there was multiple ones that would have been. I think in the year that they came out and said diversity this, diversity that, and a year we saw, you know, things that needed to be addressed with race and diversity and things across the whole country, not just in entertainment. This was the year for them to make their statement. And I think Nomadland, I can understand why it won, because 2020 was also a year a lot of people wanted to escape. And Nomadland is the movie that just doesn't really take on a huge topic while it's also pretty good. And outside the norm, I guess would be a way to put it. But I don't think it did. I don't think it deserved it.
It's so tricky. Like, Best Picture is, we've had arguments on the Nerdcast and in person many, many times about this movie shouldn't have lost to this movie and this one. I almost feel like it's even harder now that they've expanded the field, because what do we have? Eight on the ballot. And I think all eight of them were good. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably only one on the list I don't know that I could make a case for Best Picture. I could Mank probably, and I love Mank. Okay. I thought Mank was good. I don't know that I could make a case for it being the Best Picture of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
But I feel like I could make a case. Sound of Metal, I really, really liked. I don't know. Yeah, I could make a case for it. I don't know that I could not make a case for any of them other than Mank, but at the same time, it's like, There was, like you said, I know for your fact, your best movie of the year is not on the list. There are definitely movies that I thought were great that didn't make the list. So I don't know. Deserving is such a, it's rare that I think a movie wins it that doesn't deserve it, but it's also rare that I think a movie wins that I think was the best movie of the year. How about that? Nomadland's a fantastic movie, and it is an achievement. I wouldn't go so far to say it doesn't deserve, but I don't know that it was the best movie of the year. But I don't know how often the best movie of the year wins the best Academy Award for the year. So
solid points.
I mentioned it. The biggest, I think, shocker of the night was Chadwick Boseman snubbed. Was that the biggest snub of the night?
Obviously, was it Soderbergh and the team changed the order of the awards. Maybe it's they knew this would be the least watched one and that it was at, so they gave it a shot. But I mean, his picture was all over the advertisements. His face was in the gift bags. He was it, and they put Best Actor last, expecting him to win. One, I guess, in the good thing is we learned that nobody in the Academy knows who wins until that envelope is open, because they went in hard banking on him to win. Two, the bad things is that the wrong people, I think, got the backlash for that snub. We talked about it on the Nerdcast. Bob made the solid case. Any other year, this is Anthony Hopkins in a lock. Well, apparently this year it was Anthony Hopkins in a lock too. I think what this reminds us is that just because we've seen it in the past of people winning posthumous because, you know, this is their last chance, it doesn't mean it's always going to happen that way. And I think Boseman's, you know, wife is probably the one who shared it best. You know what I'm saying? She was the one who definitely was like, this wasn't a snub. Hopkins deserved it. Chadwick would have been fine with this outcome, everything like that. Just remember, but deep down it's a snub.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's not, I think it was one of those, Chadwick Boseman's performance was amazing, and the posthumous ones are always hard to not give. At the same time, like, Anthony Hopkins is amazing in The Father. Like, it's quite possibly, this is someone who's had some great performances in his career. This might be the greatest thing he's ever done in his career,
right,
as far as performances go. So that's not to take anything away from it. I think Chadwick may have lost just because of the momentum and a lot of, like, I think there was probably a lot of people who either A, just assumed he was going to win, or there was some backlash to like how much he was winning, but neither of those two. Now, if anyone else on the list other than those two had won, I think you would have called it a huge snub. I think this one's more just like a surprise, because Anthony Hopkins, like, if you look at the odds, Chadwick Boseman was the heavy, heavy favorite, like in Vegas, but Anthony Hopkins was right behind him. So I don't know if snub's the right word, but it was definitely a shock. So, and then I think one last question, and we'll get off Oscars until the Nerdcast time, but is Chloe Zhao, you know, a Chinese national winning, a woman and a Chinese national winning best director, enough to change this category? Is this the token one we get this year, and then we'll go back to normal for a few years until people get pissed again?
I want to say it is the one. And we've seen what our trio of Spanish men, you know, finally get their wins over the past handful of years deservingly. I just, with everything else the Oscars showed us in these major categories, I don't think so. I'm going to go out and say it. I felt like they said diversity, diversity, diversity. And then early on in all those technical categories, the behind the scenes categories, they gave the awards to the people that won. Was it the first time a group of Black women won for costumes? I didn't even realize that was the case, but apparently that happened. And that's such a big deal that they had to bring it up in their speech. We're still dealing with that type of stuff. I don't know if this category, being the one that we see probably the least diversity. I mean, if you look at the director wins over the year, it looks like a presidential, the president's posters over the years too. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's now, granted, like, obviously we're in a way different age than we were. I mean, they've been giving out the Best Director Academy Award since 1929. It was a different world, different time, but 72 different directors and or like directing pairs, you know, like the Coen brothers or whatever, or directing teams have won this award.
Right.
And of the 72 of them, two of them were women.
Yeah.
And those two women won that award within the last 11 years. So like two out of the last 11 were women. So like that means we're moving in the right direction, but it's still two out of 72. So
I will say this is more hopeful than Bigelow's win. You mentioned the other woman who won. Bigelow, I think, wins because she made a political movie at the right time, right? The Hurt Locker was the right time. That's the reason that movie was so successful in terms of awards, where I think and I don't want to take away from her. She's obviously a phenomenal director. But I think this time around, it's less the right time you're making a statement, and was more of what you did in the movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think the bigger conversation is less around women winning these awards and more about women getting opportunities to direct films. Because if you go back over the last decade, I would say, like, just the 2010s, there have been two? I'm trying to think who Greta Gerwig got nominated for Lady Bird. And then obviously Chloe Zhao this year. Were any other women nominated for best director in the last decade after? Cause Catherine won in 2009. I don't think another woman was nominated until.
No, we were praising the fact that they finally nominated, you know, Iñárritu or Cuarón or Del Toro, because they weren't just five white guys sitting there.
Okay, no, I'm looking it up.
Catherine
Bigelow was nominated in 2009 and won. The next time a woman was nominated was 2017, Greta Gerwig, who did not win, and then one more, and then this year, Chloe Zhao. So three women have been nominated since 2009.
Right.
And two of them won. And two of them won. Two of the three who were nominated won the award. So I think it's less about the award and the nomination. It's more about just like more women should be getting the opportunity to direct big movies. So
yeah. And I'll say one more thing, and I'm gonna give credit to you on this because you brought it up in the Nerdcast that we talked about the Oscars. The biggest snub probably this Oscar season was Regina King not being nominated
for sure
for director. She did to take a stage play like that and make One Night Miami what it was phenomenal. And remember, she's not, like, historically, she's not been a director. This is not her, you know, so kudos to her. I don't know. But yes, Oscars, we'll talk them on the Nerdcast for sure. I guess we should move on now. All right.
Let's do it.
I've complained openly, mostly on The Last Word, but in other areas of Netflix. We were promised at the beginning of the year this trailer of what I think there was like 60, 70 something original movies that were supposed to be big, all the new series. And we've had some good things. Trust me, Malcolm and Marie, like you just mentioned, was one of my favorite things this last award season. I really liked I Care a Lot. We've seen some new series pop out, but we haven't seen it to the level that it felt like they were promising. Here we are in May. I can't even start going down the list. We've started the last couple weeks with movies, but we got our, what, the Amy Adams Woman in the Window. We've got Monster, which is fine. What, that's 3 years overdue since it's premiered at Sundance. We've got Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, which looks fun as hell. And then you head on over to, you know, a few other movies. Then you got series like More Love, Death and Robots. I love Master of None. And that's coming back in a new way. You've got, I mean, I actually have a tab open up here and the amount of stuff I can, that I left off, that's worth mentioning. What, Lucifer, Castlevania is coming back. You have, where was, oh, Jupiter's Legacy, which is perfect for a Project Nerd podcast. I don't know. Anyways, a lot to happen. Is this it? Is this the turning point? Are we just seeing Netflix turn it up to 10 from this point on the rest of the year? And on top of that, second question, let me know what you're excited about, all those things that I clearly just went nuts about for May.
I mean, I think you're late to the party. I'm already back on the Netflix train because we got earlier this month, we got Shadow and Bone, the adaptation of the books, the Grishaverse by, I've read the books and now I'm going to blank on the author's name. Her name is Leigh Bardot.
Was that April 30th or April 23rd though when that dropped? Did that drop this past weekend or the weekend before?
The weekend before.
Okay.
Last weekend.
I won't argue because an April 30th drop to me would still be May, right? Like, so, but okay.
Okay. Ahead. We also got, I mean, they've done a lot of really interesting documentaries. Like, we got the new Son of Sam one, the limited series that's on there. The one that I want to specifically call out, because it looks like if you were to just go off like the trailer or like the stills of it, the Mitchells versus the Machines is fantastic. And if you haven't watched it yet, you need to sit down and watch it. Get the kids, sit down and watch it. It's a hell of a lot of fun. It's really silly. It's like 2 hours long. It's a weird kind of sci-fi comedy, but like, I mean, how about just this? I'll just give you some of the voices in it. Danny McBride, Abby Jacobson's, Maya Rudolph, Conan O'Brien, Fred Armisen, Olivia Colman, Eric Andre, John Legend, Charlene Yee, Blake Griffin, Chrissy Teigen. It's so much. It's, I watched the trailer and was like, nah, I don't know. And then I watched, they played a clip and the clip was like, ah, this is really clever. I sat down and watched it. It's so good. it's really good. So I would, if you haven't done yet, Mitchell versus the Machine gets my endorsement. I have a lot of friends who are like really into all the reality TV that Netflix does. Apparently The Circle is real popular. I think the finale's coming up. People love it. So I'm really into their Formula One Drive to Survive docuseries they do. Like, it's on their third season. The third season just came out. It's just about Formula One drivers. I really love it. So there's some good stuff on Netflix, but you're right. There's a lot of stuff coming to get more excited about. Of all the things that you said, I think probably love Death and Robots again.
Yeah.
Army of the Dead, like, I'll watch it, but it's so hard for me. I'm trying my best, Zach. I love you, buddy, but you've done me wrong so many times in the past. I can't trust you anymore. I mean, Woman in the Window, obviously I want to see. Monster, obviously I want to see. There's nothing you didn't list that I'm not going to watch, but of all the things you listed, Love, Death, Robots is definitely top of the list.
Right. That's it. Yeah. I'm sorry, Mitchells versus the Machines, right? Is that what it is?
Mitchells versus the Machines, yes.
Right, okay. So that was this past weekend. You've got, we're in a span of like 5 weeks in a row of movies that I am super excited about. I think, but the one thing that doesn't officially have a date, but Netflix in May, is that Hellstone Halston limited series starring Ewan McGregor. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really, though, Master of None is just a show that I can watch time and time again. And I've watched the first two seasons over and over again, and even just showed it to Aaron here recently. Season three is going to be way different. And it's only five episodes, but I'm really excited to see what they do here. On the movie side, I don't know. I think it's hard because I sit here and say I'm most excited for Army of Dead, but I'm going to be honest, I haven't even gotten around to Mortal Kombat yet for the turn. I'm still trying to catch up with the good quality stuff to get to these turn your brain off type movies. So maybe I think Monster is something that looks just powerful and I'm ready for. I'm going to argue on The Circle. I get people like it, but shows like The Circle is what's wrong with this country. This is how you end up with presidents like we had in the last election, because we let these types of people get famous. Stop watching it. Let's make Netflix put out good stuff. Let's make them put out good programming. Where's Ozarks? Let's get our next season of Ozarks going. Anyways, but I do think to answer the first part of my question, I think this is where I think the throttle just opens and they're just dumping it now, especially during the summer. It might slow back down in the fall, but I think they're seeing an opportunity here with so much of us being home still, at least the early part of the summer. Let's turn it up. Let's get it all out there. Because like I said, there's a lot of stuff they've recently announced for May. I still don't technically have a date. And I think that's because they're trying to get it all out there now.
Yeah, there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a lot of, for the first time ever, there's a big slew of older popular movies coming again that that hadn't popped in a long time. Like I say popular, not necessarily great movies, although I don't remember the last time I watched Mystic River. I don't know that I will watch Mystic River again, but it is really good. But
it's a tough one. Yeah,
it's rough.
Yeah.
But just a lot of stuff that's just like, oh, yeah, that was a really good movie. I might actually sit down and watch that. So,
well, they're bringing Back to the Future trilogy back this month, and Scarface. I mean, if you want to see some arms get chopped off by a chainsaw and Al Pacino do a lot of cocaine, there you go, man. You're covered.
If you want to watch the quintessential romantic comedy of the 90s, Notting Hill is coming back.
See, I think that's another thing, too, is they are having to, because they lost
the original,
so much.
The original Stargate movie is coming back.
Oh God, I love
that. Kurt Russell.
Yeah. I showed that to the kids recently, but I think you bring up a good point because they've lost so many shows and movies back to, you know, the other platforms starting. The Office obviously is the highlight of that all, with Peacock taking it back. So I think this is huge for them to get some of those bigger A-level titles back them on the platform.
I just saw two that are coming back this month that I'm ready for. The Land Before Time and The Land Before Time 2 are coming back.
I'm in.
Yep.
I'm in.
Yep. Let's do it.
All right.
But yeah, I was already back on board with Netflix. So watch The Mitchells versus the Machines. It's really good.
All right. I'll check it out.
And Shadow and Bone. Shadow and Bone is not great, but it's a fun, I like the books. So it's a fun little adventure.
So. They're both on my list, so we'll get to them sure.
Okay, last big topic. We'll do it quick, almost like a quick hit, but we're definitely gone too long at this point. So since last time we met, Falcon and Winter Soldier has since wrapped. How did you feel about the season as a whole? And are you on board with the direction that we're going with Falcon and Bucky, or are you just kind of whatever?
I think Winter Soldier, he's still up in the air. I'm not sure about, maybe they're not even sure about. I think Anthony Mackie's The Falcon got his moment here, and this was huge. And as we have it listed at the bottom, and spoilers, they close it at the end of the season, Captain America and the Winter Soldier. The way it came about, though, I was just talking about how the Academy Awards didn't seize their moment, right? The Academy just did not seize the moment for what needed to be talked about socially right now. And this series did. And the show was good. The first episode, I'll be honest, I was bored and I was really worried. But after that, it picks up. And it moved me. There was a point where I was moved to tears. There's definitely a point where Isaiah and the Falcon are talking and I'm moved to tears. It is fantastic. And I'm excited to see what they do with Captain America now. And I'm excited to see if they introduce that controversy into later times he's in the role. There obviously was a few things that I feel were a stretch. we very clearly a terrorist group, and we get that. I think they handled that wrong. How do you, if you're trying to make us sympathize with this group, then don't make them full blown terrorists. Like actually, and then of course you can't just talk to a politician for 10 minutes at the end of an episode and then it actually changes something. You're going to have to throw green at their face, Captain America. Sorry, that's not how this world works. But other than that, I thought it was fantastic and I liked it way better than WandaVision.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Wait, really?
Yes.
All right. Well, you're wrong about that part. It's definitely WandaVision. I still preferred. Here's the thing. I really like the idea of this show. The biggest problem with this show is there was a lot of moments where their reach outdid their grasp. Like they reached for things and couldn't quite get to them. I think obviously I'm 100% on board with Sam getting the shield, becoming Captain America. It was good. He got his moment. It was awesome. I think they hinted or tried to like touch on some really interesting ideas with Bucky and with Sam that they just didn't land. I think a lot of like some of Bucky's history stuff that they touch on, they use it as like filler and like exposition, but then don't really resolve it. I think the biggest miss was like there was a lot more. Introducing Isaiah Bradley was a big deal, and I did not see them doing that I was not expecting that. But then when they did it, I don't know that they gave him as much due as they should have. I feel like there was more to unpack and more to work with there. I don't know. I think they definitely took, there was a lot of themes in the show that they took, I don't want to say the easy way out, but they took the less complex version of the thing. Like they did the less complex version of the story. I don't know if that makes sense, but here's the thing. Well, I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to ask you a quick question on that part before you continue. Yeah. Do you think that's more because it was a six episode one and they could have gone that way with 10, or do you think it just wasn't going to go that way?
I just don't know that they were going to go that way. And okay, maybe that's for the better, but then I would almost rather you didn't broach those topics if you're not going to do the more complex version of them. But I mean, maybe I'm alone on that one. So here's the thing. I really enjoyed it. I really like Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie as these characters. I just like watching them interact with each other. It was a lot of fun. It was still a little too straightforward. I think I would have liked it a lot more if I had watched it before WandaVision. Like we said, when the show first launched, like it's a very straightforward by the numbers point A to point B story with some twists and turns, but nothing like, I think it suffered from following such a experimental and crazy show like WandaVision to then go to like the straight, like, nope, we're point A to point B and that's how we're going to tell this story. So I also am still upset that they don't know what to do with Sharon Carter. I thought she was I thought Emily Van Camp and Sharon Carter were finally going to get their due in this movie. They did not. That was not a thing that happened. And I don't know, U.S. Agent John Walker, Captain America, has always been a polarizing character already in the comics. I don't hate the way that they did. I really like Wyatt Russell as him. Like I love Wyatt Russell's performance. I don't know if I have completely embraced like how they wrote the character for the show.
I'll give you that. I feel like it kind of mixes with the Flag Smashers, right? Like, If you're trying to present them in this way, you needed to do it better, because the only time you're really mad at the line he crosses is I can sympathize with the dude, right? Like he's not really pushing the boundary. And in the comics, he is definitely, I wouldn't say completely opposite, but he, in terms of a Captain America style, he's definitely opposite of the Captain Americas we've seen in the MCU, if that makes sense. But
yeah, I don't know if you needed him to heel turn so hard so early. Like I feel like his purpose was to show that like the government's not going to let a black man be Captain America, right? So we're going to go do this guy. I think that there's more to explore in that version of his story rather than just making it that the impetus for bringing him in, but then making him a bad guy like out the gate. Like he heel turns into villain like almost immediately, and then you don't have time to really explore the whole the I don't know, the dichotomy between that, but it's fine. I'll tell you one thing I did, this did remind me of, that I didn't necessarily need reminding of, but for those of you who have forgotten, goddamn, Daniel Brühl is such a good actor. I'll watch Daniel Brühl do literally anything. He's just so interesting. He's just fun to watch do things.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you on that. We won't fight on that one, but that's it for our big topics here on Versus. Let's head on over to Quick Hits. I need to download the horn noise for it. Like, we just need to do it. But anyways.
Okay. I mean, just do it. Just do it.
All right. We actually aren't too bad on time. Not terrible. But these are our quick hits. So we're going to race through them a little bit more quickly than we do our big topics. Kind of some one-offs. Maybe eventually I'll get creative enough to put us some background music in there. Like I said, the horn and stuff. But in the meantime, let's just do them. One interesting thing I did see this week, which I would have liked to spend more time on, but we had so many other topics, was the J.J. Abrams produced Superman movie is specifically looking for a black director right now. Does that mean they're going to give us a black Superman, Tyler?
I mean, they've pretty much since come out and said, yes, we're looking for a black director and a black lead character. And if you haven't been on Twitter today, people have thoughts about this, unsurprisingly.
That's why I wanted to talk about it, because that might have been a better question. Is our fanboy basement dwellers going to lose their shit, Tyler? There's the question.
Yes, 100%. And I think there's a lot of interesting tweets out there from various people, like taking stances on it, saying things. One that I've really, the best take I've seen so far is from a comic creator named Ron Mars, if you're not familiar with him, basically, who says people who totally accept Superman being from another planet but freak out the notion of him being black guy are telling on themselves, which is true as hell. So yeah, Superman can be black. And if you don't believe that, you can get bent. So
I'm pretty stoked for this. I like Henry Cavill as Superman. I don't feel he's been in very good movies or been written very well.
I feel like he's been done so badly, and I would love to watch him as Superman more, but he can go be Geralt of Rivia and we'll get a new Superman.
I'm all for that too. That's where I was going to go. We are in 100% agreement with this, especially because I think if there's anybody on Project Nerd that loves seeing racist fanboys or sexist fanboys get pissed off, it's the two of us right here. So let's get them all. It's
literally
angry.
My favorites. Here's the thing. do you have a choice if you had to pick, a black actor right now to be Clark Kent / Kal-El, who would it be?
You know who I'm going to go with at any time. If you ask me what black person fits in this role and what British person fits in this role, who am I going to pick every time? It's my dude, Idris Elba. I think, actually, joking aside, there's a lot of choices. I would have to think on it. And I do feel this question warrants a lot more time. And as the story develops, we'll probably talk about it quite a bit more.
I'm giving you mine right now.
Okay.
William Jackson Harper. For those of you unfamiliar with William Jackson Harper, he played Chidi on The Good Place. He plays a great nerd, but then he takes his shirt off and boy is cut.
William Jackson Harper
is my voice right now.
I think you're right. He's cut already, and you get team him up with Camille and get on that diet, and he'll be set to go for sure. So, okay.
All right. Another quick hit. HBO released their first images of the Game of Thrones prequel, House of Dragon, about the Targaryens. Are we excited for this? Or are we still recovering from that final season of Game of Thrones?
I can tell you one thing. The pictures show that the wig budget hasn't gone up for the Targaryens. I will tell you thing too is I feel like once it comes to fruition, I'll be more excited. Right now, I'm still kind of just
I don't care.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I will care about that sometime after the last book finally comes out. How about that?
Good luck with that, Tyler. Good luck with that. All right. The Grammys announced they're changing the way voting will be done, starting with the removal of anonymity.
Anonymity?
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Specifically to a number of other changes. The Grammys have kind of been irrelevant, at least to mainstream audiences, for a while because of all this. Is this the good first step in making them the music awards again relevant?
Sorry, folks, that ship has sailed. Grammys will never be relevant again. There's too many categories. There's too much nonsense. I wish they were, but it's not ever going to happen.
Well, I'm not going to say anything because I'm with you on this one. So
that ship has sailed. Zack Snyder wants to direct a Star Wars film. God, if you had a choice to say yes or no, what would it be?
I know your answer already based on what you were saying with Army of Dead, but I will say this. Snyder, stay away from my Star Wars. Stay away. Stay away. Tyler?
He would try to deconstruct the mythos and just,
film it all in front of a green screen.
If we can't let Ryan Johnson have another go at it again, we definitely aren't letting Zack Snyder near it. So here's the thing. There are so many other directors out there, and they don't even have to be famous, well thought of directors. There's young up and coming directors. There's female directors. Stop letting Zack Snyder make things, or not necessarily just stop letting, I don't know. Just
let him focus on the zombie movies, guys.
Make more zombie movies. Make more zombie movies.
All right. Well, let's close it out with Tyler. You've got some big things happening in May. Guys, let's do a little announcement here. Talk about what you're up to.
We're launching the book club by Project Nerd. So for those of you who listen to the Nerdcast or listen to this show or, you know, listen to anything we do, I love books. I read lots of books. And we've been talking about this for a long time. So we're finally starting our own book club here at Project Nerd. So once a month, I will pick a book for us. We will then read that book. We'll talk about it. We're setting up a Discord channel so we can discuss it. We'll do some live streams halfway through the month, the end of the month. Depending on how engagement goes, we'll open up for voting for different ones. Our first book of the year is going to be Susanna Clarke's Paranesi. If you're unfamiliar with it, she was the author of Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, which was a huge hit, won the Hugo, was shortlisted for the Booker Prize, New York Times bestseller, championed by authors worldwide, like Neil Gaiman. I remember the reason I bought the book back in, God, it's been over 10 years ago, was because there was a blurb on the back from Neil Gaiman saying about how good it was. And I love that book. For those of you who did read that book or didn't read that book, because it's 700 plus pages long, Piranesi is only 270-ish, real short, real quick read.
You guys can do it with us this month. You can get
it. It's beautiful. It's entrancing. It's mesmerizing. It is a super fun adventure through a maze of a house. There's lots of mystery. There's lots of fun. If you're a fan of authors like Neil Gaiman, Aaron Morgenstern, anyone like that, you'll really like this book. Also, if you're not someone who's normally a reader, you prefer your books in audio format, the audiobook is narrated by one of our favorites, Chilty Ejiofor, and he does an excellent job of it. So come join us, project-nerd.com/the-book-club.
Or just we'll put a link. We'll put a link on
just,
that.
Just go to projectnerd.com and search book club. It'll come up. Join us in the Discord, listen for the podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is the first of many good books that we're going to read, but I chose this one because I don't know that anyone who's read it who didn't like it. It's short, it's quick, it's a finalist for the Hugo this year, so let's read it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm also looking forward, Tyler. This is going to be our first thing we're going to get Aaron on, so Aaron's going to be on board to read
it. Aaron's going
to
read it? I'm excited.
She's going to read and join us for the live stream, too, so it'll be perfect. At least us three, maybe one more person, but always remember our live streams are done in a way that you can head on over to our Facebook page or Twitch, and you can participate. We'll throw your comments up on the screen, so we want you to be a part of this live stream as well. Dates for that coming soon, but as Tyler mentioned, head on over to projectnerd.com, search for the book club, pick up your book, find the Discord, talk to us, read with us, everything like that. Exciting stuff. All right, Tyler, that's it for this episode of Versus. I feel like we just had so much to do to catch up. Got close to an argument, but
Winter Soldier's, the Falcon and Winter Soldier's not better than WandaVision. So, I mean, that's okay. The closest we got. And you missed the boat on the Mitchells versus the Machines, and you need to check it out immediately. So
I will check it out for sure. But as always, you can catch Versus and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts over on projectnerd.com. As Tyler pointed out, it's project-nerd.com. You can click on the podcast tab at the top or just go to podcast, search it. You can find us on YouTube and, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple, Google, and Spotify. All right, Tyler, that's it for Versus this week. We're going to be able to deal with Bob this weekend bragging about his win for the Oscars picks.
I mean, it's whatever.
All right. We'll take that as a, yeah. All right. Until then, we'll see you next time on Project Nerd.